Hey, thank you so much for joining us at our Crosspoint Church podcast. Now, if you're new to our podcast or maybe new to our church in general, we're just a bunch of messed up people who don't have it all together, running after a heavenly leader who loves us and meets us right where we are. We hope this message encourages you, builds your faith, and strengthens your confidence as you continue down this journey of what it means to know and follow Jesus. Enjoy this message.
I remember shortly before I was to get married to my wife, Jess, in 2012, I remember my now father-in-law, her dad, invited me to Perkins for a meal. At that time, I was nowhere close to faith. I had, you know, kind of a backseat approach to faith. Like, you know, hey, I'm just gonna kind of, it's not something that I'm focused on. I like that, you know, I appreciate the good intentions of people in faith, but I've had, you know, experiences with Christians that have been, I guess, unpleasant, didn't really pull me in. I'm like, well, if you know, being a Christian means, you know, being exclusive and being judgmental, then that's not what I'm really looking for. But back to Perkins, so my father-in-law, he kind of gave me the tough sell, like, you know, hey, do you know about faith? Like, where are you at in faith? And I was kind of like, just kind of shrugged off, like, I've just seen, you know, and experienced Christianity in a way that hasn't been inviting. So I don't feel like I've been, you know, properly invited into faith. And he, you know, I felt like he was giving me kind of like a salesy approach to it. You know, looking back on it, I respect it. And now as a father, like, I see, you know, what, you know, that he had good intentions on that. You know, I guess a couple years after we were married, Jess, my wife, wanted to explore going to church. When we came to Crosspoint, we were invited by my wife's colleague and friend, Trista Hurst, and her husband, Terry Hurst. They invited us to this church that they were going to, Crosspoint. And I was like, well, you know, what's another one? And, you know, we come in and the music is rocking and the band is rocking. And there's like a very appropriate, you know, in my opinion, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm really into music. There was an appropriate amount of distortion and there were like, you know, some rock and roll stuff from like, you know, my heyday, the 90s that I would hear, you know. You know, 90s alt-rock radio stuff, and I'm like, oh man, like, I didn't know churches did this. Like, what's going on here? And so that hooked me in, and then the message, like, you know, reeled me in. So the message was welcoming for, you know, people like me at the time, people that didn't have a relationship with God, people that, you know, felt, you know, burned by, you know, religion, you know, the religious community, you know, the judgmental folks that, you know, that carry this title of Christianity in a way that was, you know, wasn't resonating with me. And for a long time, you know, that was my opinion of, oh, Christians, yeah, those are people that are judgmental and people that aren't accepting unless you believe exactly how they believe. But then here's this message that I'm getting about just really practical things. I mean, it's like a TED talk, you know, just like practical things that you can, you know, take into your life outside of church. You can take it into your home. You can take it into your office. You can take it into, you know, whatever volunteer environment you're in, whether that's, you know, in the church or like I coach, you know, my daughter's soccer teams. So just really practical ways to just be a good steward to your community. And if you want to go deeper, like there's a path there. And that's where the message ties into scripture in a way that, again, is welcoming. I hope that there are more churches like Crosspoint because, you know, if there's more people like me out there, and there are probably a few, not exactly like me, we're all different, we're all unique, but, you know, if there's a pathway for people to find faith and know God the way Crosspoint has helped me know God, like, yes. Yes, specifically with our community, you know, we've got such a unique opportunity to invite others to come in and experience faith in ways that, you know, they never imagined perhaps. Having the space used in ways like faith versus doubt and, you know, carpool cinema, you know, outside of what we're doing on the regular service, but like bringing more people into the community, like, you know, having a beer. Because, you know, a thing, something that I tell people all the time is like, Jesus was perfect, and he also flipped some tables, right? And he also called out BS. You know, he called out the Pharisees, and he turned water into wine. And, you know, that's the Jesus that I follow. And not just to say that Jesus is a rebel, because he is, you know, he talks often about, you know, Old Testament and teaching. So he, you know, his life, his teaching is built on the legacy of what came before he came in human form. And while he took the form of a man, dude flipped tables. You know, he called out, he called foul. You know, he called out the hypocrites and the people in power who were, you know, misusing their power to oppress others and to enrich themselves. And he turned water into wine. He liked to party too. And that's, you know, for me, it's really easy to get behind that, you know, that full character of Jesus that I've been able to get to learn about and really know thanks to being a part of Crosspoint. I mean, if Crosspoint wasn't here, I mean, if I didn't have Crosspoint in my life, I wouldn't be the husband and father that God is intending me to be. And I'm just so thankful for that. I have so much love for my daughters and for my wife. And Crosspoint has just shown me how to walk out my faith in a way that's, you know, a blessing, not only to my community, but, you know, certainly my, you know, family, those that I care about the most and care for. So I don't know where I'd be without it. My daughters, you know, like, they have an interest long term, of course, in being volunteers at Crosspoint and continue to build the kingdom, and couldn't be more proud of that. So, all right, for real this time. For real this time.
Let's thank Dave for his transparency right there. Wow, I tell you what. You know, and Dave's story really is, at a bigger, you know, level, it's a story arc of what Crosspoint has been about for 17 years. And, you know, we're doing anything short of sinning to actually reach our friends, to go and help people see that there's a God who loves them. And this is really the story of God. I mean, when we look throughout the Bible, this is what we see, that God continues to call people to do aggressive things, to unusual things that haven't been done before. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this week. And we're going to be talking about how God wants to continue to use this place, how he is right now. Many of us are here as a result of that, how we're going to kind of dream on. Which, speaking of dream on, can we give it up for the band one more time? Morgan, Kyle, the whole crew, man, I tell you what, that was amazing. And we're going to be dreaming this weekend. It's Crosspoint Vision Weekend 2024. Welcome to Crosspoint. My name's Kerr. If you are a guest with us today, we're so glad you're here today. And you're going to kind of get a front row seat at what this place is about. And we're excited our online crew is joining us today. Let's make some noise for those joining us online across our city, our state, our nation, our world. Man, so good to have you joining us today. And we're going to be, you know, celebrating. We're going to be, you know, just kind of storytelling. We're going to be pulling the curtains back a bit. We're going to be talking about where we kind of feel God is leading us in this next season. And hopefully all of this is just really encouraging and inspiring. And then next week, we're going to get back to our series, Stuff Jesus Made Up, because we had a lot of fun with week one. We'll be back. And then, of course, it's race weekend and Memorial Day weekend. So a lot of fun stuff next weekend here. Hey, let's pray before we do anything else. God, thank you that we can come into this space. Thank you for the work that you have done in our lives. And, you know, whether it's our first time here, whether we've been here, you know, dozens, hundreds of times, God, we just know you're a God who actually is interested in being a part of our lives. And we pray that you would help us feel that, experience that. Thank you for the work that you continue to do in our lives, in our community. And God, we know that as we gather, you do this unique thing where you uniquely meet us exactly where we are. And I pray that you would just do that today and help us to see the story you're writing, not only in our lives, but in our church, in our community, and just help us to get a vision and a sense of how we can continue to be a part of that and to be a part of journeying with you. And so we just thank you for these things, and we pray these things according to your character. Amen. Well, you know, excited you're with us today. Excited that you have chosen to be a part of today. If you knew his Vision Weekend, if you didn't know his Vision Weekend, I really believe God continues to call people to do aggressive, unusual things that perhaps we haven't done before. And, you know, we see this throughout the story of God. We saw this with Noah all the way back near the beginning. I mean, Noah starts building this ark in the middle of this dry field. And we're like, what are you doing? He's doing something very unusual. We see prophets who are just kind of on the side for long periods of time before God uses them. We see people stepping on water, walking across like dry seabeds. I mean, just thing after thing after thing where there's no precedent, you know, but God was pushing them to do this. And this is the way we really believe God still calls us to be. In fact, since day one here at Crosspoint, we've said, you know, we're here trying to do things that aren't being done, say things that aren't being said. We're building something that still, for the most part, has yet to be fully seen. And we're trusting that God can use a bunch of imperfect people, including myself, to do impactful things in other people's lives. And so this idea of being aggressive really has been a part of our DNA ever since we began. Now, I remember when, all the way back when we first started this place, one of my friends came to me before, you know, we started anything and just said, what are you doing? We kind of shared with him, you know, what we were thinking about. He said, what are you doing? This makes no logical sense. You have two kids, you got a third one on the way. You're going to uproot your family. You're going to move to a new community, a more expensive community. You're leaving a stable paycheck. You're leaving a church that you have a good job and a building and a people, and you're going someplace with no building and no people. Why in the world would you do that? Well, it was all a part of, you know, this is some of the unusual kind of aggressive things that God often calls us to do. And so we started forming a team and, you know, just kind of casting this vision and saying, hey, you know, inviting people close to us, started with my brother and his wife, Mark and Barb, and said, hey, is this something you think you might want to be a part of? And they said, yes. And that was like our first teammates. And then, you know, we had a partnership with a church on the north side of Indianapolis that wanted to help start churches. And, you know, they allowed us to kind of fish in their pond and cast vision. And people that caught that vision said, hey, we want to be a part of starting something new in Fishers. You know, we want to go be a part of that. And so we had about 25, 30 adults from that church that left that church to come start something new with us. We had about 25, 30 of our friends we just accumulated over 6 or 7 months that said, hey, we want to be a part of this new thing. Some people had been of faith, people that had been turned off to faith. Some, you know, were just like, hey, I've never really been a part of a church and I'm interested. And these are, you know, singles and young adults and families and, you know, people with busy lives that are kind of uprooting and saying, hey, we want to start something new. We want to start something, you know, where we can invite our friends and we don't have to sift through all kinds of religious lingo. And, you know, we can explore God at our own pace. And, you know, it's okay not to have it all together. We can just be our authentic selves. And that was just exciting to us. In fact, our very first staff member that came from the church we launched from, he actually had a good full-time job there, and he left that full-time job to take an hourly job in the marketplace so he could volunteer to be a part of our team. And I just remember in those early days, you know, saying to him, you know, I can't guarantee you a paycheck. I can't guarantee you that you're going to have insurance down the road if we'll ever be able to bring you on board or you'll have any kind of retirement. Heck, I don't even know if we'll be here 5 years from now. And I just want you to think, like, if for those of you that or 30 or maybe even 40, like how many of us would actually do that? Would leave good paying job to take a job that pays the bills so we could actually volunteer to be a part of a startup? And yet that's what you know, many people did. And this unique individual, PJ, did. It was very aggressive. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, it's been amazing. And the more of that spirit, the spirit of God that is going through us today, I'm telling you, the stronger and stronger our future is going to be. Now, it wasn't just here in Fishers. A couple years after that, we actually said, hey, we want to help take what we do here to new places. And so we had a number of people from just north of us up in the Pendleton and Anderson community. And so we began to look for a pastor that might, you know, start something up there and eventually located one. His name was Chris, and he came on our team. And about, you know, 9-10 months later, took another 25 people from our community up to Pendleton and started a brand new church up there. And that included our current creative director, Brad Brickley, who had just come to Crosspoint for the first time. Little young Brad Brickley is a college student. He came with his then girlfriend, now wife, Lauren, because Lauren's roommate was getting baptized. And I'll never forget meeting Brad right inside the front doors of Fall Creek Intermediate School where we were meeting at the time. And he said, man, it's good to be here. That band like really rocks. And I'm like, oh, do you play music? He's like, yeah, but not like them. I'm like, oh, well, they would love to meet you. And he said, oh, they don't have any time for people like me. I said, oh, they have time for you. And so, you know, took him in to meet our you know, band and worship team and worship leader. And what do you know, a week later, Brad's in the band. That's how aggressive, you know, we were in the early days because, you know, hey, we're building something. And Brad actually, you know, about a year later went on to Catalyst, this church up in Pendleton, to be their worship leader for a number of years and then eventually came back this way. And so these are just some of the crazy, crazy things. And people even said, hey, when we were sending people up there, they're like, that's crazy. Why would you do that? You're still meeting in a school and you don't even have a home yet, and yet you're sending people out to start new churches and you're barely a preschooler. You're like 3.5 years old. And they're like, it's like a preschooler having a baby. Now, don't get hung up on the imagery there, all right? Because but the principle was, we just said, hey, we want to continue to be aggressive in creating spaces for people to experience God. You know, that has always been a part of what Crosspoint's been about. You know, I heard a story recently about a guy who went into a bar, which I know sounds like a really bad setup for a joke, right? This is not a joke. This is a true life story. A guy went into a bar, and while he's in the bar, he actually saw an alligator in an aquarium. And that wasn't the most amazing thing. It was actually that he talked about holding the alligator in the aquarium. And he had the same question I had. He was like, how in the world did you get this alligator in this little aquarium? And this thing must be like just born. I mean, for it to actually fit in here and him to be able to hold it. And he asked the bar owner, and the bar owner said, no, actually that alligator's been in there since birth and it's well into its adult years now. And the guy said, how in the world is that true? And here's what the bar owner said. He said, well, we put it in there at birth, and when it's in the aquarium dictates how big the alligator gets. And the moment I heard that, I was like, boom, oh, wow, that was like a mind-blowing moment. Because all of a sudden, that bar owner just kind of revealed a spiritual principle right there. That the longer we stay in the aquarium, the longer we stay in the box that we know, you know, the less big we become as people of faith. And you know, it's amazing how we kind of grow into what we have. And so this weekend, as we talk about what's next and kind of where we feel like God's leading us, I want to get out of our aquarium a bit. I want to get our minds out of the aquarium. And we're going to talk a bit about where God's leading us. We're going to talk about some of the current challenges, some of the, you know, the opportunities that we have in that, and some of the stories that God is doing and that we just continue to see, you know, that we have the opportunity to be a part of. So just a couple, you know, current realities as we think about kind of where we are and where we're going. You know, and first, before I get into these, I just want you to know I'm so thankful for what I get to continue to be a part of and the ways we continue to see God work. And, you know, if your life is like my life and if, you know, just the stress of the last number of years, it's easy to focus on all the things that, you know, aren't exactly the play we would want them to be. And yet, man, I step back and I'm like, I am just so overly grateful that what God is doing. So even in the midst of that gratefulness, though, that doesn't mean there are not obstacles. Now, obstacles are interesting because obstacles, you know, really are opportunities. In fact, I love what, you know, the greatest basketball player who ever lived said one day, Michael Jordan. I know some of you are really pissed because a few weeks ago I said it was, you know, it was actually LeBron James. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, I don't know. I think either one of them could be. Today we'll say it's Michael Jordan. How about that, all right? We'll say it's Michael Jordan today. Here's what he said. He said, obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, go through it, or work around it. Love that. Another guy I have a lot in common with, a guy by the name of Albert Einstein. You're like, what in the world do you have in common with him? Well, it's his first phrase right here. He says, it's not that I'm so smart. That's me right there. He said, it's just that I stay with problems longer. You know, when we come up against obstacles, we stay with them. We work them out. We figure them out. And so, you know, obstacles have a way of forming us and opening us up to new realities. They help us get out of the aquarium, if you will. And so I want to talk about a few of those and how those are forming kind of where we see ourselves going. And so one of the realities that just, you know, all churches in America are you know, experiencing, and the stats just kind of keep coming in on this, is that, you know, the landscape has changed, you know, for faith over the last 4 years.
meaning, you know, the COVID pandemic, you know, created change, the social unrest, political unrest, all the things we've experienced, the rise of Christian nationalism in our country, which in my opinion isn't Christian at all. I mean, it's actually working against people, you know, people like Dave saying, hey, I want to be a part of that. It's actually keeping people from, you know, stepping foot into, you know, churches and exploring faith. In fact, in some recent statistics in The Atlantic, there was a study done by the Public Religion Research Institute where they studied 5,600 adults, and they found that today 25% or more of Americans now identify as atheist, agnostic, or religiously unaffiliated. These are the religious or spiritual nones. And they even reported this is the highest level of non-religiosity in the history of this group polling individuals in our country. In fact, two-thirds of that number, of that 25%, grew up in somewhat religious homes, but they have just checked out and said, hey, we don't want to be a part of that at all. And just historically, when you look back, I mean, you go back into like the early 1900s, 1930s, 40s, 7 out of 10 Americans, you know, associated with faith. You fast forward 40, 50 years to the 80s, again, 70% of Americans, you know, said, you know, they still belong to a church, to a synagogue, to a mosque. In the 1990s, things began to change. In fact, in 1990, an estimated 40 million people, or 1 in 8 Americans, actually stopped going to church. And so this was known as one of the biggest, largest concentrated changes in pursuing faith, church activity, faith activity in our country and in many of our lives. And in fact, that's kind of where Crosspoint got birthed out of, that 90s sequence going into the early 2000s. And it hasn't really got any better as we've gone through the last two decades. And so, you know, this creates unique challenges. And of course, coming, you know, post-COVID, there's a lot of churches that are just, you know, saying, okay, what does it mean for us to be relevant to people who don't yet know who Jesus is? And, you know, for us at Crosspoint, I mean, that's our target. I mean, we're here. We're not here for, you know, to attract churchgoers. You know, we're not here to cater to the already convinced. In fact, had a conversation a couple months ago with a couple that was here for the first time. And they, after service, they said, hey, you know, we got a question. You mentioned the Apostle Paul this weekend. And, you know, we like to talk about the Apostle Paul a lot here. And anytime I talk about Paul, I like to give a little of his background and kind of make him real, because he was a real person. He didn't just write something. He was a real person like you and I that had to wrestle through things. And, you know, I'll often mention how he didn't grow up in a home that, you know, where Jesus was explained. Very religious, but not Jesus. And he was actually against the movement of Jesus for a good part of his even adult life, until one day he changed and changed his mindset, and he began to see that Jesus is who he says he is. And this person said, yeah, you just said, hey, if you're not really into Jesus or into church, you know, we're glad you're here. You ought to check out Paul. You might connect with him. And this lady said to me, she said, why would somebody come to church if they're not into Jesus? And I'm like, oh, like mind blow moment again. You know, I'm like, okay, so, you know, we're stuck in the aquarium right here. Right? Which I get happens. You know, the longer we're in faith, the longer we spend time, you know, in church settings, the more we begin to believe that church is really a place to gather for those that are already convinced, as opposed to being a hospital for those that are broken and disenfranchised. Now, hear me clear. I mean, we're here for people that are already convinced. We're here to grow. We're here to help people follow Jesus. We're here to help, you know, people grow in their experience of Jesus, to experience more and more of his spirit and character. But understand, the mission and the movement of Jesus, you know, is not just that it affects us as an end in and of itself. In fact, Jesus even identified this in his mission statement. We looked at this last weekend. Luke chapter 19, he said, I have come. Jesus said, I've come specifically, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, that which is disconnected, that which is not currently connected to the life-giving source of a relationship with a Heavenly Father. And so then, as followers of Jesus, you know, we're equipped and to be deployed to actually help people experience, you know, that same thing we've experienced, the same thing that we experience, that God dreams for others' lives who've not yet come to experience that. I saw this kind of play out in someone recently who has been attending with us here for a few months. They started sometime back in the holidays, and just hadn't really had a lot of experience in church. And got to, you know, fast forward to this past Easter, Holy Week here at Cross Point. They'd kind of been increasingly tracking and just trying to grow and learn. And during Holy Week here at Cross Point, the week before Easter, we actually opened this space up, the venue up, for prayer time over the lunch hour, and had a number of people, you know, dozens of people throughout the week just come and spend quiet time in this space. And it was just a place to reflect and, you know, hear and talk to God. And this person walked in and you know, on one of those days, and when they walked out, they said, "I've never done this before." Which I was just really excited that they were here. And then they also had an envelope, one of our giving envelopes, in their hand. And they said, "Hey, I've never seen this envelope before." You know, and so I explained it a little bit and said, "You know, if you want to use it and you want to become a giver, I mean, you can put this in the joy box." Yeah. And they're like, "Okay, well, I've heard that." And so they took it with them and they walked out the door. And then about a minute later, they came back into the venue and said, "Well, I was going to try to do this anonymously, but I don't know how to do that." And so they pulled a check out of their pocket that had been bank issued, I mean, in an envelope and all. They said, I want to give this to CrossPoint. And this first time I've never done something like this. And I was just like, "Oh my gosh, that's so generous and kind of you." And they said, "Yeah, well, there's a lot of things I haven't been doing, you know, in my life up to the last couple of months, and I just want to help other people experience what I've been experiencing." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that is like the epitome of what it means." I mean, that's somebody who is experiencing the fullness of God, not just for themselves. It doesn't mean their life's all together, but they are like, "I want to help others experience the same thing that I've come to experience." That is a very aggressive move right there. And I believe that aggressive move happens because this place, those of you that make this place happen, are aggressive and intentional in making sure this is a place for people who have never experienced some of these things before to see that they have a good, good Heavenly Father, and that they have, that regardless of what's going on in our lives, that God actually can bring a healing to our brokenness and can actually restore things that we feel like have been lost forever and redeem our past and use it for the good. And so those are just some of the cool stories that I just continue to get so excited about. Now, back to obstacles. You know, I want to kind of pull our curtains back for a moment and just share a bit of the behind the scenes, some of the things that are obstacles, but also opportunities. And if you've attended one of our family meetings as partners and so on, you've heard a bit of this. Actually, you've heard all of this. I'm not going to share all of our family meeting stuff, but I'm going to give you a bit of some of the high-level things here just to help you see that, you know, sometimes when we're in the aquarium, we have to get out of the aquarium if we want to actually experience new things. And so one of the obstacles that our leadership's been navigating for the last number of months is that we have been in a refinance season with our current lender and our current loan on this property, and it's been a very, very difficult process. And that's kind of the obstacle. And part of the obstacle is just the financial climate that we're in right now and the interest rate environment and how much that, you know, increases our expenses and so on and so forth, paired with, you know, us rebuilding financially, rebuilding out of COVID. And yet one of the cool things that's come out of this, and it really came out from our community as we began to share this with some of our partners and people that are a part of this place, is saying, "Hey, what if we get out of the traditional lending realm and we actually create a different plan and we create like a CrossPoint investment, you know, lending group that really becomes the lender for a bridge over the next couple of years until we're in a better lending environment?" And this began to pick up steam, and we began to hear this from a number of our partners, and we said, "Okay, let's begin to dig into this." And so this has actually become a solution that our leadership is actually working on right now, and it's so cool because it's almost like God is rallying this community around us to solve this obstacle. And you know, if this is something that you're like, "Okay, I want to hear more about that," you can let us know on your connection card. We realize that not everyone is probably in a place where they're able to be a part of this, but in essence, what this is we're gonna have the opportunity for people from CrossPoint, friends of CrossPoint, outside of CrossPoint, to be a part of an investment group that will become our lender for the next 3 years and create a bridge loan to bridge us into a better interest rate environment, and also, you know, use their money for good, meaning not donate it, just park it as an investment to get a return on, and then to get it back at the end of the three-year term when we refinance in a more conventional way. And so if you wanna hear more about that, let us know on your connection card, and we'll have some info meetings coming up on that. So that's a really cool way that we've seen God actually rallying our community around some of the things we've been experiencing. Another one of the obstacles is, you know, as we increasingly go through a season where everything costs more and we continue to grow and rebuild, one of the obstacles is how do we free up more dollars for ministry and building people and chasing our friends and neighbors and creating a place for them to know that there's a God who runs after them and use less of those dollars to actually fund, you know, the cost of this space right here. And so one of the opportunities and the things that began to emerge as we've worked through this with our community is developing additional revenue streams. Identifying, you know, community businesses or people who might want to utilize our space during the week as a coffee shop or an event space or, you know, a co-working space where that actually generates revenue here but gives them a landing place and utilizes our space during the week and cuts down some of our exposure to the cost to manage and continue to call this our home. Now, this is something more and more churches are increasingly doing. And especially churches similar to us that are not just here to, you know, to create a gathering place for people that are already convinced, but a place that's going after people that haven't yet experienced the love of God. And so logistically, this is something that begins to help offset expenses. Now, one of the cooler pieces of this is there's a double opportunity right here. And the double opportunity is this gives us a place where it puts us in a place where we can actually flip our environment here and begin to utilize this not just as a church space. And I want you to think for a moment about, you know, for people who have been leaning away from faith, less interested in church, less interested in God over the last five, 10 years, how do we make this more of a common space? Well, this allows us to flip this from a church space to a community space or a third space where, you know, this is a landing place that people come and do life and do coffee and do meetings and do connects. And oh yeah, there's also a church that meets here. Wow, that might be the kind of church that I could walk into. Now, I get really excited about this because when we first started Crosspoint, a really formative book for me was a book by Howard Schultz, which is the starter of Starbucks, and his book was Pour Your Heart Into It. And he talks about creating third spaces in our community, places beyond home, beyond work, where people can gather, relax, and talk. And so this becomes, you know, a critical part of something that has always been a part of our DNA here at Crosspoint. How do we create spaces for people to come and say, hey, this is just a common, ordinary space where I connect, where I meet people. And oh, wow, there's people of faith here. This might actually be the kind of place I could actually step into an environment and explore that. And so I just get really excited. Again, it's one of those things when you deal with challenges, you begin to see how opportunities emerge and how God rallies his people around these. And I'm telling you, it's been so cool to see kind of the aggressiveness with which our community's leaned into this, which is critical in this season. Now, I want you to know this is a rallying moment. And I was in the book of Exodus reading in the Old Testament a couple weeks ago, just in my daily study time, and there was really this passage that stood out to me because it was really a rallying moment where Moses is leading the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and he's trying to cultivate this trust in this community as God's taking them to a new place, getting them out of the aquarium, in a sense, to something new that they hadn't experienced before. And there was this moment as Moses was leading them that just jumped off the pages of me, that kind of reminded me of this journey we're on, because I don't think some of the things we're navigating, working through are all logistical. I think God is actually spiritually forming us in this season. In fact, here's what happened with Moses. It says, so Moses went back and summoned the elders and the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. And so Moses brought their answers back to the Lord. It's almost like in this moment, God was evaluating their hearts. It's almost like God was like, hey, I just want to know, are they trusting me? Are they following me? Are they willing to follow me? Are they sensing what I'm doing? Are they sensing where I'm going? Or do they just want to continue to follow their own pursuits? You know, one of the really cool defining moments for me personally over the last number of months is, you know, as our leadership had been wrestling through just kind of like, what are our next steps and how do we continue to create this space for Crosspoint? Honestly, there are moments where we had to ask the question and just say, hey, you know, we've had a great run here at Crosspoint and a great 17-year, you know, 16-year, you know, history. And, you know, the world's changed and life's changed and, you know, people have changed and the spiritual landscape has changed. You know, is this still worth something? Is Crosspoint still have value in our community? And I just think, you know, any leader at certain times, you have to wrestle with those questions. And it was something, you know, our board, you know, had to wrestle with as well. Like, what does that look like? And, you know, what does that mean going forward? And we were in the midst of a meeting with our leaders and just kind of sensed we were at a moment to say, okay, God, what are you calling us to next? And we put a pause on our meeting and just said, okay, we want to sit and pray on this for a bit. And as we all left that meeting, you know, we spent some time over a weekend praying. And as I went home and talked to my wife, I was just like, you know, we're trying to discern next steps. And you know, and we're just trying to be really honest, like, hey, this is hard work. And yet we see these stories of what God's doing. And yet, you know, are we continuing to follow God's heart on this? And perhaps, you know, we've had a good run. What does that look like? You know, if maybe this is the end. Maybe we've come to the end of the road, and that's probably partly my kind of insecurity at times. And I can't tell you how over the next few weeks, I just had moment after moment where people would come up to me and they'd be like, Kurt, I can't tell, kind of like Dave Evans in his video there, I can't tell you how much Crosspoint's meant to me, and I just, man, I can't tell you what would happen if we weren't here. And real quickly, really got a clear sense that, hey, there is, you know, there is a need. People need a landing place that don't have a spiritual background, that don't have a place to grow and connect. And so, you know, my wife and I just started going through, you know, all the people in our lives that, you know, we're like, man, these people are really here because of who Crosspoint is. And here's the people that I haven't even stepped into Crosspoint yet. And here are the people in our lives that we've invited and we hope one day will make their way to God. And you know, just really kind of started to rally and say, yeah, this is something that God is clearly leading us to, because that's where our leadership was kind of saying, what's next? And we went home that night. And us, you know, it's about 9:30 at night. We sat down with our kids, and we wanted to watch a movie. And so we said, "Hey, what do we want to watch?" And nobody could come up with anything new. So we have about 6 movies on repeat that we watch in our house. And so they picked one of these. And these movies are Father, the Bride 1 and 2, Parent Trap, the Lindsay Lohan version, in case you're wondering, and then Crazy Rich Asians. And we've watched each of those in the last month. And The Internship, which is why you see so many clips from The Internship, and then Top Gun: Maverick. And so one of my daughters was like, hey, let's watch Top Gun: Maverick. And so we're like, all right, game on. We'll watch Top Gun: Maverick. And so we put it on. And how many of us have seen Top Gun: Maverick? Just make some noise. Let me hear from you if you've seen it. Okay, most of you. All right, so if you haven't seen it, I am so sorry, because I'm going to spoil a bit of it. But that's on you, because it's been out for a year and you haven't seen it yet, okay? So we're watching this movie, and right at the beginning, there's this moment where Tom Cruise, Maverick, you know, he's supposed to do a test for a demo plane that they're trying to, you know, put in, you know, they're testing out it to put into circulation in the Navy. And so he's showing up for the next benchmark in the test. They have to hit Mach 9 that day. And so he drives into the hangar of the test, you know, where the test is going to start. And his whole crew's standing there as he pulls in. And they're all kind of standing there with their heads down and dejected. And he looks at him. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? We're doing a test today. Let's go. And they kind of lift their heads. They say, well, the program's getting shut down. The admiral's on his way. He wants to take the funds, do something else with it. And Maverick just kind of looked around at his crew, and he said, yeah, but he's not here yet. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so, you know, we've seen this movie like 20 times, but I always get goosebumps in that moment. So, you know, they get excited, and they kind of start getting him all prepped to get in the cockpit, and, you know, he's got to get his oxygen levels up and get him suited up and in the cockpit. And so they get him all ready, and he's out on the tarmac ready to take off for this test. And all of a sudden, Admiral Kane shows up at the gate, and they radio to him. They say, hey, the Admiral just showed up in person. We know what happens to you if you go through with this. And he looks and pauses for a moment. He says, yeah, and I know what happens to all of you if I don't. And in that moment, I'm like, game on. I'm like, this is why we do what we do here at Crosspoint. And from that moment, it was, you know, there's all these connects in the movie, if you've seen it, with Miracle 1 and Miracle 2, and I'm connecting that to, hey, we have these obstacles, but man, we've got a clear path on some of the things we're working at solving. And it was just a cool moment. And I was so amped up when I went to bed that night, I couldn't sleep. It was like 12:30. And the next morning, I had a call with one of my one of our board members who couldn't finish the meeting with us. Said, "Hey, I just want to catch up and kind of see what I need to do to prepare for an experience." We were talking, and I just shared a little with him, and he's like, "Kurt, have you seen Top Gun Maverick lately?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I just got done like 6 hours ago." He's like, "Yeah, Miracle One, Miracle Two." I'm like, "I know." And it was just this cool converging moment. I've always said God speaks to us through movies. It's why we do At the Movies every year. Because God uses things in our culture to show us and to help reveal like where we're going and what we're doing. And so that was a really pivotal moment of saying, hey, this is why we do what we do. And obstacles don't slow us down. They're just opportunities for us to get out of the aquarium. And so why do we do that? Why do we run after these things? Well, I want you to hear another story because it's people like Shelley that remind us of why we continue to do this. Here's her story.
So I moved to Indianapolis after veterinary school, and I'm the only one here of my family. My family's still back in Oklahoma and Texas. And when I first moved here in 2004, when I graduated, it was busy. I was busy, 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 and getting the career going, and life was happening, and time flies by, you know. And then once I got more established, I started noticing that I was here alone, you know. My family is still back in Oklahoma and Texas, and it's just me and the dogs here. And so I never felt that or recognized that consciously until I got more settled, you know, in my life, and I wasn't on the go all the time. And so that made me feel like I was missing something, you know. I had always wanted to connect with the church here, and I did for a little while back and forth, but I never had one that stuck with me. It just never felt right. But I did feel like that was one thing that was missing in my life, was to have a community, you know, be part of a community and part of a church life, have a church life. So I started watching online various churches around the area. And I would watch services a few times for each one, and I'd move on and watch another and another. And I started watching Crosspoint around the holidays. So Starting Point, my first time in the building overall was Starting Point. And I had, watching online, I had noticed some of the activities that were going on, and that was one of them. And that one seemed to fit me perfectly, and it helped me start kind of at the beginning, you know, at the start again. And so that was when I first came. There were a couple of people in the class, and it went well. Abby was great, and the people that I met were really nice, and I felt comfortable. I never felt like I had previously in some of the other places, you know. I didn't feel restricted, and I felt like I could be myself, and I didn't feel judged, and that was all very different, and that's one of the reasons I kept coming back to Starting Point. And it was an 8-week venture, and it was great. When it was over, I think we were all a little disappointed that it was over, you know. And so that is what finally, I guess, ultimately led me to start coming in person to the services instead of only doing them online. I continue to return, whether it's online or in person, you know, depending on what work is at that point, because I do feel like I'm filling a void in my life that I had before. You know, I mentioned I originally started watching because I felt like something was missing. And throughout my whole life, even though it's been very busy, I've always kind of felt like I was missing this part of my life. And so I continue to come back because I do feel like I'm filling that void, and I'm learning about something that I've always wanted to learn about, but I never had the opportunity to learn it in the way that would work for me. Because my previous experiences, when I would listen to the pastor or try to go to a class, it just didn't click, you know, and I didn't feel comfortable, and it didn't really make sense to me. And so Starting Point was more of a conversation, you know, that we could have with each other, and thankfully there was a book because I love to read, and so that helped a lot. But I think that I continue to come back for one. Again, I can be myself, I feel supported, and I'm starting to feel like part of a community, you know, that I had not before. And so that's a good feeling, you know, to have that community around you that you've never had before.
Man, how cool is that? How cool is Shelley's story? I tell you what. Man, it feels good to have a community around you you've never had before. Guess what? That's something you guys fight for. Give yourselves a hand on that. That is this community aggressively fighting. And she represents dozens, hundreds of people in the same story. They're like, hey, there's something I experience here. It reminds me of something the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10. He says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. See, I believe God thinks our feet are beautiful. Because, you know, we're doing anything short of sinning to actually break down walls so people can actually see him. They can be found by him. That they can actually experience his goodness. And let me tell you something, that's not our story. That's God's story right there. That's one of the things God is doing. I mean, he directs us. He says, hey, I don't want you just hanging out with people that are already convinced. I don't want you just getting together praying for your friends that you already know. I don't want you just, you know, building each other up as moms and dads and husbands and wives and employees and so on. I mean, those are all things we do. We're going to continue to do that. But he directs us to do the one thing that we have to do that has eternal ramifications. And all of the rest of this is futile if we're not running after our friends and our neighbors. And that's what we do here. That's what we do. So I want to walk us through just a few next steps and a couple things that I want us to just think about as we kind of land this. Go ahead and take out your connection card. And there's another card with that. It says volunteer opportunities. Just take both of those out. You may or may not interact with both of these. But I want you to take your connection card. On the back are some next steps today. And this is a day where I really hope all of us will say, okay, what is my one next step I'm taking today? All right, maybe not be taking any more than one, but what's the one thing I'm doing? Now, if you're a guest with us this weekend or it's your second time, really, the only next step I want to ask you to consider is to come back next weekend. All right, next weekend, we're getting back to our series, Stuff Jesus Made Up. We would love to see you next weekend. Now, for the rest of us who call Crosspoint home, a couple next steps. I want to ask you to just think about what's God saying to me in terms of where we are, where we're going, the future he's leading us to. And the first one here, as I shared about this Crosspoint investment lending group, if that's something you're like, wow, you know, that's something I want to know more about, I'd like to find more about, I might be interested in that. I just want you to mark on your card that you'd like to know more about that. You'd like to receive information on that. We're going to have some info sessions coming up here in a couple weeks where you can hear what that looks like, how to be a part of that, and the opportunity there. Now, I want to be really clear, that's not for everybody, but for some of us, you know, God may even in this setting be saying, hey, that's something that I may want you to park some capital that you have and make a return on your investment and do good with that in order to help Crosspoint bridge this next three-year gap. Again, not for everybody, but if that's something God's putting on your heart, let us know that. We'll keep you in the loop. Now, a few ways, week in, week out, for all of us that call Crosspoint home, I just want you to think, what does it look like for me to be running after God in the same direction God's running, be a part of what he's doing? One of the first, the next things, number three right here, is to become a giver. And if this is your home and you're not currently a giver, I just think everybody should have some strategy or plan on how they are financially investing in the church that's investing in them. And for many of you, you're already a giver, and I just want to say thank you for that. And so for others of us that haven't taken that step, maybe this weekend's the time we say, hey, I want to be a part of that. And you know, the greatest thing about that is when we hear stories like Shelly's story and Dave's story, you go, oh my gosh, I'm actually tied into that story. God is using me to help write those stories into eternity in those people's lives. And so maybe that's the next step for you this weekend. Another step around here that's really big that makes this place go is becoming a volunteer, joining a volunteer team. Now, again, many of us volunteer around here. You're on a team somewhere. If you are not and you call Crosspoint home, I think all of us need a place where we can say, hey, I'm somehow tied in to being a part of volunteering and making good things happen for people around this place. That's how God moves the kingdom forward. And if you want to know what that looks like, just look around. Where there's activity, where you see people doing things, bringing energy here in the back, running cameras, welcoming people, brewing coffee, sitting with kids on weekends. Those are all the places that are volunteers every single weekend that are helping people experience the goodness of God. And so, if you know, you're kind of like, hey, Kurt, like I'm a maximizer. I want to know where I can have maximum impact. Where is that? I will always tell you every single time that's with kids and students. Every team around here has a great opportunity. Kids and students are places. If you're a maximum impact person, every single weekend, there are people that build in and build the next generation and their faith as we help that generation take faith forward. And I can tell you right now, there's 10, 12 roles right now, immediately in our kids and student environments that if those aren't filled in the next few weeks, then we're gonna have certain environments that aren't gonna be open over certain months in the summer. It's just the reality of it takes, you know, people saying, hey, I wanna be God's hands and feet and be a change maker. And so if you wanna join a volunteer team, there's a card in there where you can just fill this out, check a box, tell us what areas you wanna, you know, try out. We will help you find a place to serve. All right, and then another way that we can all be a part of something, and again, I'm just asking all of us to consider taking one next step, is to pray with us, to just say, hey, I wanna pray with my church. And so this is kind of a prayer list that you can take a screenshot of if you wanna pray with us as we continue to say, God, we wanna aggressively go after the reasons that you've put us here and people that you are using this place to draw to you and experience you. And so you can pray for our mission, friends and neighbors that are far from God. You can pray for Miracle One, this Crosspoint Lending Group, Miracle Two, you know, streams of revenue that help us flip this space into more community space. You can pray for our current staff. I get overwhelmed at our staff and how much they just give and invest in making this place happen. Pray for one another. Just look around right now. Every single person you're sitting next to, everybody's fighting their own battle, every single one. Yeah, pray for one another. Pray for new partners, volunteers and investors joining the mission. And perhaps most important, have some gratitude and say, God, thank you for what you're doing. And so just take a screenshot of that. That's one of the ways you can pray with us as we continue to chase what God is doing here in our midst. And in that vein, I want to just kind of ask you, you know, as you sit and before we, you know, sing a song or two here, what has God done in your life through this place? I want you to just ask yourself that for a moment. How has my faith maybe gone to a next place or a new place as a result of this place? Kind of like Dave said, he's like, I don't know where I'd be if, you know, I wouldn't have landed here. How have you changed? How's your life different? How perhaps is your family different, or your marriage, or, you know, your confidence in just who you are as you've come to experience, you know, God and his dreams for you? As you think about that and what God's done in your life through Crosspoint, here's what I want you to understand. You're here on the shoulders of people who came before you and were so aggressive. They did aggressive things for God so there could be a landing place for you to actually experience what you've experienced with God and grow and go to new places. And today is one of those moments where we get to say, okay, how do I get to be aggressive in that way for the next group of people that walk in here? For the next group of people that God wants to bring into this space, for my friends and neighbors. And I really believe God's a communicator. And so I just want you to just say, okay, God, what's my role? What are you wanting me to do? Where do you want me to step in? How do you want to use my life? Where do you want me to be aggressive? And I'm telling you, the more of that spirit that's flowing through this place, I'm telling you that God is going to be continuing to strengthen our future. So why don't you go and stand with me and hold these two cards in your hand. And I'm gonna ask us just raise the house lights just slightly so we can see these cards. Band's gonna lead us. We're actually gonna sing a song we taught you last weekend that just remembers the goodness in God and what he's doing. I just want you to ask God, what's my role? What do you want me to do? God, what are you inviting me into? How do you want to use me in what you continue to do through this place? And so I hope every single one of us will say, okay, there's one thing I'm gonna take a step in this weekend. And as we do that, let's just be reminded of how good God has been and how he is actually leading us to amazing new places.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Take a moment to follow our podcast on your preferred platform and be sure to download our app to stay informed on everything happening here at Crosspoint. And if you like what you heard today, don't hesitate to share it with a friend that might need to hear it too.